Praise God. How many are glad to be saved? Anybody? Couple. Couple of you are glad. We sing a chorus earlier, "I'm not sorry I answered the master's call." I asked somebody one time, I said, "How many are sorry you answered the master's call?" Everybody put up their hand. So you got to be careful what they're saying sometimes. Praise God. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We've been going through 10 reasons why we should pray, and we've gone through six of them. I heard somebody whisper. Gone through six of those, and we're going to pick up number 7 today, but let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and we're just going to read down a few verses, first 4 verses, then we're going to drop down to verse 11. It says, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord that filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, 'For he is good, for his mercy endures forever.'" And let's go down. I said 4, but 3. Let's go down to verse 11. "Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord, and in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, 'I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. And if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayers that are made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish thy the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be a ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by their roots out of this land, out of my land which I have given them. And this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among the nations." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's bow together and ask God's direction. Heavenly Father, once again we pause before you. We thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. We've already sent your presence here this morning. Now, Father, as we look into the word of God, once again we approach it reverently and humbly. Realize, Lord, in ourselves we're absolutely nothing. But, Father, we also realize that your word says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So, Father, we just ask for wisdom. We ask for clearness of thought. And, Father, we ask that we would take the things and put them into practice in our lives. And, Father, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We've been going through those 10 different reasons why we should pray, and we base the scripture on the passage that we've been using monthly in our revival meeting that we have the first Friday of every month. And as already been mentioned in the announcements this morning, the next service is going to be at the Robland Wesleyan Church, and Pastor Carl Bull from the Free Methodist Church will be speaking. And so let's go and support them and be part of that as well. But each week we've been taking, or each month I should say, we've been taking a part of that verse, "If my people," and then "if my people which are called by my name," and then we had somebody speak on humble, if they humble themselves, humility, and seek my face, and pray rather, and then seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. We had all these different things, and this next month Carl Bull is going to be preaching again on revival. But we've been dealing with prayer, and we just came through a week of prayer in our church here, and we thank you for being involved in that, and I believe it's important that a church would pray. And Sister Margaret gave me a book I got to partly read, "Something Happens When Churches Pray." And we got 5 or 6 of them ordered. Betty's got them coming in. Hard to get new ones, so we had to get used ones, but they're coming in anyway. And they'll be here on the next train. But anyway, 10 reasons why we should pray. We've gone through a number of them. I'm just going to glance through them quickly. Number one, when we pray, God receives glory, receives praise. Psalm 15:23 says, whosoever offers praise glorifies me. Then we look at, we draw near to God. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 7, Moses said, the children of Israel said, what other nation on the earth has got so good as us? He said, whose God is so near to them? When we draw near to God, the Bible says, God draws near to us. Abraham, we talked about this quite at length there a couple weeks ago. When Abraham went and offered his son as a sacrifice, he opened up a way for God to offer his son on the earth. God will do nothing on the earth until somebody on the earth does something first. Every time God did a miracle, you look through the scriptures, you can find. Every time God did a miracle, he said, go and find something for me to work with. And when Jesus on the earth, he did the very same thing. He said, get something to, you know, they were hungry. They said, we've got nothing, just a little boy's lunch. Jesus said, that'll do, bring it here. He blessed it and multiplied it. When they were going to cross the Red Sea, he said to Moses, take the stick that's in your hand, just stretch it out. God needed something on the earth and somebody on the earth with faith that would believe him, and then God could do something. Abraham believed God, the Bible says, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham offered his son, and the angel spoke and said, don't do it. He said, I know now that you trust God. And that opened up the door for God to give his son for the earth. Somebody in Adam's race had to invite God in, and this is why prayer is so important. When we pray, we're inviting God into Adam's race, so to speak, down here to do something for us. And God cannot do that until we ask him to. And we need to understand that. Remember when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, Satan said to him, he said, if you fall down to worship me, he said, I'll give you all these kingdoms, he said, because they've been delivered to me. Jesus never refuted that. They were given to Adam when Satan, given to Satan rather, when Adam sinned. Adam gave them over to Satan. And because of that, when God wants to do something on the earth, this is why God said, if my people would pray, I'll come down and do something. He said, you have not because you don't ask me. You don't pray. So he said, if you pray, he said, I'll do something. Anyway, that's point number 2. I got to go on because I preach on that again. Point number 3, when we pray, we show gratitude to God. The Bible tells us when we come in, bring our prayers, our supplications with thanksgiving. If we're praying correctly, we're offering thanksgiving to God constantly for the blessings that he's bestowed upon us. Number 4, our personal needs can be met. When you're going through different situations in life, whether it's a financial need, a physical need, a spiritual need, a family need, you know, you need a job, whatever it is, when we pray, we got an opportunity for our needs to be met. But if we don't pray, then we get mad at God because God's not doing anything. God said, you have not because you ask not. Ask me. Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. So we need to learn to ask. And so when we pray, the Bible talks about here, with our supplication, bring our supplication to God there in Philippians chapter 4, be anxious for nothing, or you know, don't be nervous and frightened when things go wrong. He said, but by everything, your prayers and supplications, with thanksgiving, make your request be made known unto God. James 5, you know the story there. He said, is there any afflicted among you? He said, let them pray. Is there any merry? He said, let them sing psalms. If there's any sick, he said, let him call for the elders of the church, anoint with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord raised him up. So God gives us recipes how to get out of different things. Number 5, the needs of others can be met. We can intercede for other people. The Word of God tells us, you know, and over, Jesus right now is our great intercessor, the Bible says. We can intercede for other people and see their needs met. You got loved ones sometimes. I say this, when you're going through something, I better slow down. I was listening to Jason puts up on our website the preaching. And man, I'm hard to listen to sometimes. I can understand it because I'm from Newfoundland and we got our own little, we jump on the bandwagon and go with it, but you fellas got to be saying, what did he say? Anyway, when you're praying for someone, we need to understand that when people are going through a struggle, when they're going through something like a sickness or some problem comes into their life, there's a fear that the enemy brings with that. And the Bible says, fear hath torment. The devil torments us with fear. And when you're tormented with fear, it's hard to pray. And this is when you need your brothers and sisters. This is when you need your cell group. You know, I have somebody else to back you up and to stand with you and say, listen, we're going to see you through this. We're going to help you to pray through this. And this is where intercession comes in. So it's not just a little mechanical thing that you do and just say, well, I interceded today and it's all this. No, when you intercede for someone, you take on the same burden. You feel as if the problem is your problem, and you start to intercede for that person. The needs of others can be met. Last week, we finished up with this one. You can persuade God to act on your behalf. I don't know if that blows your mind like it blows mine or not. When we start to realize that we can change God's actions, we can change the course of events by praying. I mean, God that created the universe and spoke it into existence and is still expanding, you tell us. That God that did that, that opened up the Red Sea and brought the children of Israel across and destroyed the Egyptians and all these things, raised the dead when Jesus was on the earth, that same God, I can contact him today and I can talk to him today and get him to change situations for me. Man, I tell you, if you stop meditating on that for a day or two, that'll drive you crazy in a good way. God will do something for you. He will change his ways, change what he planned to do. Remember Jonah? We talked about this last week. Jonah went into Nineveh, and you know the story. Jonah ran from God and all these different things. But when he finally got his life straightened out and got on course, he went in. He said, you got 40 days, and God is going to destroy this place. And God gave him the opportunity to repent. The Bible says when Jonah got in so far into the city, the king heard that there's a crazy fellow out there telling everybody God's going to destroy the place. And the king had enough wisdom to understand this is true. And the Bible says he called all the people and he got them together and they fasted for 3 days. And even their animals, they wouldn't even feed their animals. They fasted for 3 days and the Bible says God saw it. What did God say? He said, if you humble yourself and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, he said, I'll hear in heaven. God heard it in heaven. And the Bible says he forgave them. And God withdrew the judgment that he's going to pour upon him. And you know the story. Jonah got mad. Jonah said, I knew this what you were going to do. That's why I didn't want to tell him in the first place. Jonah hated him. We can look at story after story. Last week we looked at Hezekiah. Isaiah came in and said, Hezekiah, he said, you can sit your house in order. He said, God said to sit your house in order. He said, you're going to die. You will not live. I mean, this is a prophet of God. Hezekiah knew this was a prophet of God. He knew this was a message from God. Isaiah left and walked across the courtyard. The Bible says before he got across the courtyard, God spoke to him again. Because back in the king's palace, the king turned his face toward the wall. He said, God, this is not right. He said, I've been faithful. I've served you. I've done this and I've done that. And he said, you know, and he stood on God's word and God changed his mind. He told Isaiah, so you go back and tell him. He said, I've changed my mind. I'm going to give him another 15 years. You can change God's mind. You ever stop and think about that? Man, I tell you, prayer is a powerful thing. Jesus, when the Syrophoenician woman, she came to Jesus. Jesus walking along, and she said, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. My daughter's at home, grievously vexed of a devil." The Bible says Jesus kept on walking. You know the story. And she cried out even more. The Bible says, "Jesus, thou Son of David." Now she had no right to that covenant whatsoever. Thou Son of David. That was a Jewish thing. She was a Gentile. She had no right to that. But at least she stood up on it. This is why sometimes, and don't misunderstand what I'm going to say, this is why sometimes you see sinner getting blessed sometimes, because sometimes they get more faith than a Christian. You know, she said, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. And Jesus, the Bible says, kept on walking, and the Bible says she came down, fell down before him and started to worship him. You want to get God's attention just to worship. Start to worship. I've seen it, you've seen it as well. Sometimes you get into a service, you just start to worship God, and all of a sudden, you know, everything, that all the bondages are broken, all the sickness sometimes, you don't get healed just by worshiping God. And the Bible says she came and fell down and worshiped him. And when she fell down and worshiped him, Jesus stopped and he said, what can I do for you? And she said, oh, my daughter's at home, grievously vexed of the devil. And the story goes on to say, Jesus said to her, he said, listen, it's not right for me to take the children's bread, give it to the dogs. She said, that's true. She said, but even the dogs can have the crumbs. And Jesus said, I've never seen such faith like this in Israel. Amongst the covenant people. Excuse me. We need to understand that we can change God's plans. We can change. You can change your own future by prayer. And this is why the devil fights it so much. This is why prayer is such a hard thing. It's a spiritual warfare. And when you get into that, the devil is going to try to fight it and stop you every inch of the way. But anyway, let's go on. That was just a recap. Sermon starts here, okay? So don't just deduct all that what I just said from the time. Reason number 7. We got 4 to go through today, so we're only going to take a few minutes on each one. Reason number 7, we should pray because when we pray, we find guidance and direction. We find guidance and direction. When we're going through life, and I don't know about you, and I'm sure we all feel the same way. We're living all in the same world. How many feel that life is speeding up? It's going at a crazy speed. They told us in school, this is back in the 60s and 70s, they told us in 1980, they said, technology has gone so far that people are going to have machines doing all their work for them, and they won't have anything to do, and people are going to die from boredom. That never happened yet. You know, all these different things. Life is speeding up, and it seems like we get something that we can do a job faster, but then we take on another chore, and we got our life filled up again. You know, we just continually fill ourselves up, and it gets to the place that you're just so boggled, and your mind is so cluttered that you can't even think straight anymore. And there's something about when you take the time to pray, close everything else out, and just center upon God. God can redirect our lives and give us focus again and help us to keep our attention on what's important in life. We need direction. We find guidance and direction. This scripture right here, this is after Judas betrayed Jesus. Judas went out and committed suicide, hung himself. And the Bible says that the disciples decided, well, we need another disciple. We need another apostle to take his place. And they gathered the people together and narrowed it down to two fellows, Matthias and Barnabas. And then they prayed. This is what this verse is saying here. They said, Lord, you know the heart of everyone. You know everyone's hearts. You see, here's the clue again, but God. God knows everyone's heart. We look at their talents, we look at their abilities, we look at their physical stature. Remember the children of Israel when they chose a king? We talked about this when we were going through the story of David there. When they chose a king, they chose Saul because Saul was a big, muscular, tall, strong man. They said, the nations will fear him. They'll know that we got a strong leader. But they forgot to look at his heart. But God said, when I look at someone, he said, I'm not looking at their stature, I'm not looking at how big they are or anything else. God said, I'm looking different than you look. He said, I look down inside them and see what their heart is like. Because that's where the real person is. And they said to God right here, they said, Lord, they said, you know the hearts of everyone, of every man. They said, now show us which of these two that you choose. This is what we need to do. Is when we're going through different situations in life and you're trying to make up your mind, should I move to this city? Should I go do this? Should I take this job? Should I go somewhere else? Should I, you know, marry this person or whatever? Don't do it without asking God for direction. Don't do it without seeking His face, His guidance first. So when you're praying correctly, now you've got to understand when we're saying praying, we're not just talking about mechanical prayers and reading off a little book or something. We're talking about when you're praying correctly, when you're sincere before God, and you begin to pray, you can find guidance and direction. Guidance for things you're going through right now because you're in a mess right now, and you say, Lord, how do I get out of this? But then guidance for the future, or direction for the future. So that you know where to pattern your life and where to set your sail and head that way. And I've told you the story lots of times. When we were in Gray River, and some of you are probably tired of hearing me say this, but when we were in Gray River, just a little town in Newfoundland, no cars there. You know, it was just a little isolated port. We had to get there by boat. Just 233 people living there, 239, something like that, we lived there. We were there pastoring as our first church. And there was a guy next door to me, and he was putting in a basement. And we would pour a 4-foot section every day. You had to mix it in a wheelbarrow and different things. We used to have to go up the bay in a boat and bring out the sand and the stone in it from the beach up there. And I can remember coming out, you come out through this little narrow place in the bay, open up like this and went big and then went in again and went out into the ocean. And this is where the town was at around here. And I can remember coming out the bay and I didn't know anything about boats, even though I'm from Newfoundland. Everybody think we were fishermen. I never fished much as that's a fisherman over there. Anyway, all of our crowd was in the lumber woods. But anyway, I was steering the boat coming out through this little narrow, you know, neck of water. And it's amazing, you just touch it a little tiny bit and you can go into to the shore or you can go on out into the ocean. Just a little move on the, what do you call that thing? The thing that steers the boat, anyway. The rudder. Anyway, but you can move wherever you want to go, and as you're going, just a little turn right now can set you on a totally different course in life. You know, just a small decision right now can change your future forever and set the course where you're going to end up in the future. That's why prayer is so important, because it helps us to find direction, to get our lives in order and lined up with God's word, and give God a chance to speak into our hearts. Because life, as we've already said, life is speeding up. It gets scary when you get into your 50s. Start thinking. Some of you have passed that and you think, man, I wish I was back to 50. It gets scary. It starts to speed up. One time a year would take 4 or 5 years to get through. Now it only takes 3 or 4 months and it seems like the year is gone. It speeds up. We need God's direction. Anyway, let's go to number 8. Number 8, when we pray, we reveal to God and to ourselves what we really care about. We focus our priorities. We get our priorities in line. We get them in check when we start to pray. There's a lot of times in life we go off in a dozen different directions. This ties in what we just said, actually. We go into a dozen different directions in lives, and life becomes so busy and so cluttered up and everything else, you know. But when we take the time to pray, we start to focus in on the things that are important in life. It helps us to understand, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I wish God would use me. Anybody ever pray that? I wish God would use me. And then when God uses you, you say, man, I felt like I was used. But we ask God to use us, but a lot of times we don't give him an opportunity to use us. Some people say, oh, I'd like to be in a ministry. Well, if you're going to be in ministry, you know, you got to start at the basic. You don't start at the top of the ladder. You start at the small things and you work your way up through. And the Bible says if you're faithful in the small things, you move up, you move up, you move up. But if you want to be up here and start it up here, you'll never get anywhere. You'll go around for 40 years in the wilderness trying to figure out what's going on and say, man, I've been asking God to use me all these years. And God said, I've tried to. But you wouldn't be faithful in the small things. You never went to prayer meeting. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1 there, he said, men ought always to pray, not to faint. Because he knew it's easy for us to faint. And he's not talking about fainting, like passing out. He's talking about getting weak and caving in and giving up. It's easy for us to do that. But he said, if you want to get something from God, pray and don't faint. Word of God tells us, he said, you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, that you would receive the promise. You see, when we go to God for something, we're not trying to persuade God and twist his arm to bless us. Your children don't have to do that to you. If there's something good that they need, but if there's something that they need, your children don't have to twist your arm and say, oh, please get me a coat for winter. Please get me a coat for winter. No, you know that as a parent, you've got to get a coat for the wintertime. And food on the table and everything else. You see, and sometimes we go to God and everything that we need in life is already provided for us. The Bible says he's blessed us with all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's already provided for us. But the thing is, a lot of these things are in the spirit realm. And I'm asking God for healing or whatever. And God has already provided it. But the enemy, the Bible says we got an enemy that's against us. Remember back in the book of Daniel, when Daniel prayed. And for 3 weeks he is fasting and praying and fasting and praying and fasting and praying and fasting and praying. And finally Gabriel came through. He said, listen, I got a message for you. And he dropped off the message. He said, but I've got to go back. He said, we heard you praying. He said, 3 weeks ago. He said, but the prince is over Persia. The demon spirit is over Persia, which is Iran today. He said, the demon spirit is over Persia. He said, stopped us and held us back for three weeks trying to get this message to you. He said, here's the message. He dropped it off. He said, I got to go back and help out. And that's paraphrasing, but that's basically what happened. A lot of times you're praying for something, and the minute you get serious with God and you pray, heaven heard it. But a lot of times we pray for 2 days and, man, nothing happened. I'm giving this up. You know, we think we're really stuck in there if we went 3 days. Daniel's praying 3 weeks, fasting and praying for 3 weeks. You ever try that? It's enough to pray for 3 weeks. You try fasting and praying. And if anybody did any fasting, the first 2 or 3 days, your head is aching. You've got a headache because all the old foolishness and toxins and everything else are leaving your body. And you just go through agony the first 2 or 3 days. Then it sort of evens off and is not quite as bad in the natural. But you've got to hang in there. And they said, we heard you praying 3 weeks ago, and we tried to get through with the answer, but the prince of Persia withstood us. But when you pray, this is what Jesus said, men ought always to pray, not faint. Because when you pray and you dig your heels in and say, listen, I've got to hear from God. When you do that, remember Jacob, when he fought with the angel that night, he said, I'm not letting you go. And when we get that, the Bible tells us even praying for the peace of Jerusalem, they said, give God no rest until he answer and make Jerusalem a blessing in the earth. We need to understand that God wants us to get tenacious in our prayers and get to the place that we just won't give up. We just hang in there. And that's what Jesus said. Men ought always to pray, not faint. You want to get something from God? Don't pray about it once and just forget about it. Pray about it and stay with 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 it and thank God for the answer and believe it for it. Believe for it and don't talk doubt. Don't pray for healing and say, man, it's getting worse. Missed a good place to say amen then. Don't pray for financial miracles and say, this is never going to work out. Because you just destroyed your prayer. Keep your faith turned on. And keep the pressure on the spirit realm. Not keeping pressure on God. God's already there. God wants to answer. But there's a prince over this region or over your life or whatever the case might be that's trying to hold back the answer. You've got to hold in there. Anyway, just move. Number 9. When we pray, we are renewed spiritually. When we pray, we are renewed spiritually. And I'm sure we all go through this. When I allow my life to be cluttered, and I don't take time for prayer, I get... that was the right word. But inside, you lose every bit of excitement about anything. Everything bugs you. You just don't have that freedom in your spirit anymore. Because your life is not in tune with God. But when we pray, the Bible says here, though our outward man perish, we're getting older. Just look in the mirror. You're getting older. Though the outward man is perishing, he said, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Day by day. Day by day. We need to keep the inward man constantly in contact with God. You see, you are made up of three realms, I guess if you want to call it that. The spirit, the soul, the body. When you ask somebody, if somebody believes that, and you ask me, you say, what's the three parts of man? They say it's body, soul, and spirit. We always go backwards. But every time it's mentioned in Scripture, it's always mentioned the spirit first, then the soul, which is your intellect, your mind, your understanding, then your body, which is all is housed in. But you see, we're living in a natural realm, and the most we see is the body part. This is why people aren't concerned about what's inside sometimes. This is why God says, when I'm looking at you, he said, I'm not looking at your body. I don't care if you got muscles or if you got flab. God said, I'm looking at your heart and see what's in there. That's what's important. Was it a whale or a mermaid? I read that last night. God says, I'm looking at what's on the inside. What's really deep down inside. That's where God is looking. And when we are praying, that inward man, inward woman, whatever you want to call it, that inward person, the real you, gets strengthened. But if you're not praying, you'll find that everything, like there's no excitement in church anymore. There's no excitement in serving God anymore. You know, I'd rather stay home and sleep in bed today than go to church. You fellows are too spiritual to admit it, but it's true, isn't it? But you see, though the outward man perish, and we're getting older and older and older, and weaker and more feeble sometimes as we grow older. He said, but yet the inward man don't have to go through that. As the outward man is getting older and older and older and getting weaker and weaker and weaker, the inward man can be getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. But we do that through prayer and, you know, seeking God's face and looking into his word and all these different things. Prayer renews us spiritually. It refreshes us. You ever get I say sometimes, like, if I go two or three days without prayer, you say, Pastor, you don't do that. Yeah, you fellas go two or three weeks sometimes. At least we got one person honest. But if I go two or three days without prayer, I joke sometimes and say to Pat, I said, I got to go back and talk to the Lord, see if he remembers me. See if he knows who I am. You know, because it seems like after, I don't know, maybe because I'm in ministry, I don't know. We had friends one time said to me, they said, you know, I'd never want to be in ministry. I said, why is that? They said, well, they said, if we get slack in our spiritual realm, our spiritual life, there's not much to it. They said, but if you get slack, it shows up everywhere. And it's probably true. But, you know, we need to constantly be in prayer. I'm not talking to be 24 hours a day on your knees. The Bible is not that. God is reasonable. But we need to always be in an attitude of prayer, always be in communion with heaven, always keeping those channels open. And if we get to the place in my own life, if I get two or three days and it seems like, oh man, it's just, ugh. You ever hear people say, I got to hit like a ping pong ball? Just going everywhere. And these are the times when you need just say, listen, let the phone ring, let anything happen, whatever's going on, but I'm going to take some time in prayer. And I guarantee you, and I've said this a dozen times, I was talking to somebody in weakness, you know, I thought about you the week, because I guarantee you, the minute you make up your mind, I'm going to pray, everything in the world will want your attention. Right? You would think about, well, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to go to the doctor, I got to go up to the store, I got to go this, I got to take garbage out, I got to fix the car, I got to, you know, all these different things cross your mind when you make up your mind to pray. You forget something, make up your mind to pray, it'll come back to your mind really fast. The devil will make sure that he reminds you what you got to do. Anyway, number 9, it will renew you spiritually. Number 10, everybody said amen. We can receive forgiveness and freedom. We can receive forgiveness and freedom. The Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we make God a liar and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he's faithful, he's just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Story there in Daniel. I'll just read it to you. You can look it up if you want to, but I'm just going to read the scripture there. If I can find it, I had it written down here somewhere. Daniel said, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and your laws. What did God say? And we just read what God said to Solomon. I should have probably spent a bit more time explaining to Solomon there, but I've told you before. They were building a new temple. It was a wonder of the world at the time. And if you read, they offered thousands of animals in sacrifice on that day. And Solomon and the people cried out to God, they said, God, we want you to bless this place, this temple. And he said, and Solomon, if you go back to previous chapters, he said, God, if it ever gets to the place that the heavens are shut up and there's no rain and our crops are failing, our animals are dying, there's sickness and disease and pestilence amongst the people. He said, God, if we would pray to you, if we come back to this place and pray, he said, would you answer us? And the Bible says after Solomon prayed that, we just read there, the glory of God came down upon the house of the Lord and the people couldn't even stand. The priest tried to get into to the door to minister and he would fall backwards because God's power was so, presence was so powerful. And then they finished up the thing. The Bible says they all went home. They were glad and different things. And that night, God appeared to Solomon in a dream. He said, Solomon, he said, I've heard your prayer. And he said, here's the deal. He said, if the time comes, he said, I shut up heaven because you get rebellious and turn from me and everything else. He said, if I shut up heaven, that there's no rain. He said, or if there's pestilence among you. And he went on and listened to two or three things. He said, if the time comes, you get into all kinds of trouble. He said, if you come back here and pray. And this is what he said. If my people, which are called by my name, first of all, if they would humble themselves. Because I guarantee you, when you come to God, you can't come as a big shot. You can't come in anything that you've done yourself. You've got no merit whatsoever. Remember the old hymn, just as I am, without one plea. You don't have one thing to stand on. But your blood was shed for me. That's all you come with. And God said, if you would humble yourself and pray, seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, God said, I'll hear you. And he said, I'll heal your land and I'll forgive your sin. This is what God said to Solomon Daniel was praying this. Daniel said, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all those who obey him and obey his commands, who love him and obey his commands. He said, we have sinned and done wrong. See, this is coming according to 2 Chronicles 7:14, isn't it? He said, we've sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked. We have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws that he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away from your anger and from your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. If you read what we just read there in Chronicles, down in verse 19 and 20, in chapter 7, in verse 19 and 20, God said, if you would disobey me and turn from me and start to worship other gods, he said, I'll make you a mockery of all the other nations. He said, you'll be nothing but a scorn. This wonderful house that you built toward me, God said, I'll turn my face from it. And this is what Daniel was saying. He said, our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. And then he says, now, O God, hear our prayers and the petitions of your servant. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous. Notice this. Humble yourself. He said, we don't make a request of you because we are righteous. He said, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen, and O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. When we pray correctly, we will confess our sin. We will deal with issues. I guarantee you again, and this is why a lot of people won't pray, and it's true, I've talked to people about this. If there's something in your life that's not pleasing to God, the minute you bow your head to pray, that's the very first thing that's going to cross your mind. Because God wants you to deal with that first. So you got to get rid of that. If you want to get through to me, get rid of that problem first. And a lot of times we're not willing to deal with that problem. So therefore, I won't pray, because every time I pray, it comes up my mind and I don't want to deal with it. We just back and forth and back and forth. And we finally get to the place our life is falling apart, and so I got to get back, I got to serve God, I got to spend some time in prayer. And we get somebody around us and say, let's spend some time in prayer. And it goes for 2 or 3 days and fizzles out again, because God starts to deal with us. And say, listen, you can't come any closer until you deal with that first. But sometimes we don't want to deal with that. So therefore, we don't pray. Therefore, our life is in a mess. It gets more frustrated, more confusing. And then we get back here so far, I said, man, I got to get back to church. I got to get back in again. And we get back there again, and you get in about 2 days, and God brings it up to you again. I said, I can't touch that. I got to back up, and I back up, and back up, and I run back into the same problem. I got to get back to God again. You come back, and you're doing that all your life, just going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, because you're not willing to deal with something that God puts in our mind. And this is why God says, you're going to come to me. What did he say in Isaiah? Your sins and your iniquities separated you from me. He said, I can't hear you. You get down and pray, and God said, what? Huh? God said, there's a little issue of what you deal with. You're shouting at, and God said, what? Huh? Deal with this first. Huh? And we don't deal with that. And as I said, we go back, back, and back, and life gets so frustrating and tormenting and everything again. We can't sleep, we can't rest, we can't do anything. Got to get back to church, got to get back to church, get somebody around me to pray. We get back here, and 2 days later, you're back here again, because God says, listen, you got to deal with this. Your sin and your iniquity have separated between you and your God, so he will not hear you. But when we pray the way that God wants us to pray, we can have forgiveness and we can have freedom. When we pray, God receives glory. We draw near to God. We show gratitude for our blessings. Our personal needs can be met. The needs of others can be met. We can persuade God to act on our behalf. We find guidance and direction. We reveal what we really care about. We get our priorities in focus. We are renewed spiritually. Number 10, we can receive forgiveness and freedom. Now, I don't know about you, I'd rather live in freedom than live in torment. You know, sometimes we got to deal with things, and it's hard to deal with it, but I guarantee you, you're not going to have freedom until you deal with certain issues. Andrew used to sing a song, I remember years ago, I believe he wrote it probably, On the Other Side of Brokenness. That's where freedom is, or something like that. On the other side of brokenness, that's where freedom is. A lot of times we don't want the breaking. We don't want to admit that, yeah, I need God's help. Sometimes we love our sin too much. But God says, you want to talk to me? Deal with that first. Then, I mean, the same thing, the same principle in the New Testament. Jesus, did you ever bring your alms? He said, you remember, he said, somebody's got something against you? He said, first of all, he said, put your alms, leave it at the altar. He said, go talk to that person first, get that straightened out. Then come back. And he said, your alms will be accepted. I know that's hard, but it's true. And even though we don't want to admit it sometimes, it's true. It's how we have to come to God. Let's bow together in prayer, and I'm going to ask the musicians to come. Father, we're so thankful for the Word of God today. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that your Word is pure, gives us direction in life. And Father, we just ask, as we look down through those 10 different reasons over the past 2 or 3 weeks, Lord, that you'll make these things real to us. And Father, may we not just be doers or hearers of the Word, but may we be doers also. May we take these things, take them to heart, put them to practice in our lives. And Father, the Holy Spirit would make real to us the one or the two or whatever, different ones that we talked about. And Father, you would help us, Lord, to refocus our lives, to center our attention upon you, that the Holy Spirit may direct us and guide us and help us to get our lives in line with your Word and your will. Be with us now, Lord, as we sing. We just pray that the Holy Spirit will minister to each one of us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.